This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, man. Good morning. How do you do? Hey, man. Just want to talk about the boys in blue. Hey, man. Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ? Hey, man. What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen and the lineup too? Hey, man. How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know. Hey, man. What do you think of Slugger and FM radio? Hey, man. Is it true you're a deadhead too? Hey, man. Kid baseball, want to talk to
it is Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Royals manager Matt Cotrero joins the show. Matt, how the heck are you on this Wednesday?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I noticed that you were in some familiar stomping grounds last night in that minor league ballpark. But before we get into that, we did do what our Kentucky Derby horses' names would be. According to this graph on FanDuel, would you like to know what your Kentucky Derby horse name would be?
Oh, I've been waiting all week to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't? Right?
I bet, man. I can tell you're at the edge of your seat. Your horse name for the Kentucky Derby is Mysterious Pickles.
Oh. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know, man. You got that vinegar bite, you know, nobody hates. I don't know. There you go, man.
Mysterious Pickles, man. Like, to introduce yourself that by that. When you go out to home plate today to exchange the lineup, introduce yourself as Mysterious Pickles to the umpire.
All right, yeah. Well, what about, you guys had asked me for 2 weeks, what about, how'd the draft go?
It went good. I was excited about it. I think they got some good players at good positions, and we'll see how they play out, obviously, in the next couple of years. But I think, you know, from a player standpoint, it went great. Not for Shador Sanders, but I think for everybody else, it was good.
I was too busy watching the Royals win six in a row.
All right, yeah, me too. That's why I'm asking.
That's why you're asking, right?
Let's address the elephant in the room. How's Mr. Reagan's doing, Q?
He's good. I mean, this is very much our call. He was ready to go. He wanted to pitch, but he's been fighting this thing for a little bit, and he's feeling better every day. And we just figured, let's try to make this for the long play. We're in the middle of 16 in a row. It's certainly not going to hurt him to miss one start, but we're really comfortable with where we're headed.
So nobody's concerned then that it's going to be a long-term thing. That's totally off the books right now, right?
Well, nothing's totally. I mean, he's pitching so well. He wanted to pitch today, but we're trying to just be and we just want to bump him back, make sure that by the time he pitches again, this thing's totally in the rearview mirror. If we thought it was going to be long, we would have already IL'd him. But we don't think that's the case. So.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I think what we're looking at is you guys, after that road trip, which wasn't great, obviously, but you guys have bounced back in a great way. I mean, how do you get these guys, or maybe you don't, maybe it's on them, after having a devastating road trip like that, just to kind of flip the switch again and as Dusty said, win six in a row, won eight out of nine or whatever it's been. Like, how do you go from that road trip to having a ball of fire inside of you right now?
Well, it is them. I mean, those are the kinds of guys we've put in that room, and those are the kinds of the attitudes that they live with, right? I mean, baseball is such an up-and-down season. I mean, 162 games, and, you know, those games that we lost on that road trip, there were a really good amount of them that could have gone the other way. And you can say the same for the games you win. So that's why we can't get too high or low on, you know, 1 week or 10 days or whatever the amount of games is. You got to stay the course, because you're going to win some games you think you should lose, and vice versa. and all we can do is come out and compete. And that's even in the losing streak, that we were competing like crazy, and any of the number of those games could have gone the other way. And I think that's the way those guys, they go about it, right? I mean, got to turn the page. Like I've said before, if you have a good day or a bad day as a team, the other team doesn't care. No one feels sorry for you when you're losing. Nobody thinks you're great when you're winning. You just got to keep grinding, and that's what these guys are doing.
Yeah, and it's fun right now when you're winning and you're getting kind of, you know, back to that 500 level as to where you are. Now, before you know it, the first month of the season's over tonight. I mean, we're through April after tonight. How do you assess the first month of the 2025 season?
Yeah, I mean, if you know, you're right around 500, you're in the thick of it. You know, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get your feet on the ground. You're trying to kind of feel out where we are, how we're going to try to win games. Right now, it, you know, the pitching has kept us in a lot of these games. And we talk about that a lot. Like, these games are in the balance in the sixth and seventh inning, and we have to figure out a way to get one more than them. And that's what we've done this last streak of games. We got to force the issue some on the bases while we're waiting for the, you know, the bigger three-run double or the home run that separates games. But you know, we're feeling good about how the pitching's keeping us in the games, and our offense is definitely going to come around.
Yeah, tonight you've got some people that, you know, obviously flagship Royals, flagship of the Chiefs. You got some people that live up in St. Joe for training camp. You got a kid on the mound tonight and Noah Cameron making his debut for you guys tonight. What can we expect from Noah Cameron taking the spot from Reagans as you guys let him rest?
I'm excited. I mean, I just got to know Noah in starting this offseason, and he's extremely confident. He's extremely poised for a young pitcher. And he's got great stuff. I mean, he's got a plus changeup, plus curveball. You know, his velo's in the low to mid-90s. And he's developed a cutter and a slider these last 2 years. And, you know, we're really excited about him. I mean, he's somebody that we think is a big part of the future. And for him to get a chance to make his debut tonight is really exciting for us.
How do you get Vinny going, Skip?
Well, you know, I think Vinny's had some really good at-bats and some tough luck, too. I mean, I think he's had some balls that he's hit hard. Last night's a good example. He's taken some walks. You know, we've seen it in spurts. And I think now, as the team, I really believe in this. As the team is winning, guys figure things out a little bit because they figure out how to get that one guy over or get the sack fly or whatever it is to keep them afloat as the team wins. And then the individual stuff will start coming because they're not putting as much pressure on themselves.
Yeah, I know this guy's not putting any pressure on himself, but I'm wondering what a significance a 20-game hit streak has for a ball club and what the vibe is around that for one Bobby Witt Jr.
Guys are excited about it for him. You know, I mean, you know, they kind of marvel at Bobby and what he can do on the field. And, you know, I know last night it came down to his last at-bat, and Salvi was standing next to me in the dugout before he went up, and as soon as he saw the ball go up the middle, he said, "Attaway Junior," you know, like he said, "That's 20 like, to me." I was like, "Yeah, I'm aware of what's going on." But I mean, it's exciting. Guys appreciate him. They appreciate the game, you know, and they appreciate how hard it is. So to see somebody accomplish that kind of stuff is really special.
Has Salvi ever met somebody he doesn't like? I mean, like, him playing first base has been some of the greatest video and things that we've seen. I don't know if you're watching him at first base, he's always talking to guys, high-fiving, laughing, having a conversation down there. Like, this is America's host now playing first base.
He does. He handles it really well over there. It does make me laugh because sometimes Jose's trying to get his attention to move him, and he's fully engrossed in a conversation over there, and the first base coach will be telling, "Hey, they're trying to get your attention." You know, so, but no, he's awesome. I mean, he's Salvi, right? I mean, I really appreciate the way he handles the game and the way how professional he is with, you know, a big part of that in his personality is why he's been able to endure so many years of, you know, his own ups and downs, his injuries, the team's ups and downs. He just got a tremendous personality and outlook on life, and it's really cool to be around.
Well, Mysterious Pickles, go get the series tonight, and hopefully you got a sweep coming up in 2 days from now, and keep winning and keep the boys rolling.
Okay, guys, have a great week.
You too.
That is Royals manager Matt Cotrero there joining us on the show. God, Salvi's just a treasure.
It's I don't know
the
if you guys
other see. Team is like, dude, your team's wanting you to pay attention.
I mean, he had some guy in a headlock. He's rubbing his head the other day. I'm like, what is going on? This is so good. This is what baseball needs. More Salvador Perez greeting people at first base. He probably distracts the hell out of them, too, and reduces the steal rate.
Now we're just waiting for the hidden ball trick from Salvador Perez.
Oh, it's coming fast. Yeah, it's going to happen. I pulled that off in high school one time. I'd like to see him pull it off in the majors.
Oof, that'd be great.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Salvi, you think I'm your buddy yet? You're out.
We revisit the poll question on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan's X page, plus the story that has Brett Veach once again being, well, the mayor, governor, president, everything of Brett Veach Town here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Everybody, happy Wednesday.
That's right. Final sounder of the final invitation to come check out the Fesco and Dusty poll question on the Fan 965 on X. We asked after the draft is now complete. We are on to Wednesday. The draft has been done, buried, and over with. Now we get onto the regular season. Now the draft is over. How satisfied are you with what the Chiefs did? 100% being extremely satisfied. We go from 75 to 100, 50 to 75, 25 to 50, 0 to 25%. Leading the way, 65.7% of people on the poll, through 239 votes thus far, 65.7 of the people are 75 to 100% satisfied, 30.1% are in the 50 to 75% range, and then 2.1% both on the 25 to 0 to whatever percentage that is. But yeah, 65% of people are saying that they are satisfied with what the Chiefs did from rounds 1 all the way to 7. Offensive line, defensive line, corner, receiver, all those little options. And you found the story of Gilletti.
Yeah, Austin Gilletti, or is it Ashton Gilletti? What's his name? Ashton Gilletti. Gilletti. He's the defensive end, edge rusher, I guess you could say, that they took out of Louisville with the 66th overall pick. And back to that poll for a second. Mm-hmm. I'll ask again if people are not in that 75 to 100 satisfied, you know, with the draft and the way that it all played out. Why not? What's holding you back from being into that satisfied category? And I'm sure it has to do with, oh, we wanted a running back, or we wanted, you know, whatever the case may be that you didn't get. And I understand that everybody wants something. But this pick of Ashton Gilletti, from Louisville is actually a very interesting story, because it shows you again why Brett Veach is the I don't know what the proper term is, the boss man when it comes to the NFL. He kicks your ass on the field, and he kicks your ass off the field as well, and has been doing it since 2018. Mike Silver of The Athletic wrote a column because he had the opportunity to sit in the Jacksonville Jaguar war room and watch this whole thing take place with Duvall and the rest of the crew down there. And the Jacksonville Jaguars had the 70th overall pick in the third round. And Silver writes that the Jags had Gilletti and running back R.J. Harvey in their sights with that third-round pick at number 70 overall. However, Detroit and the Rams were also calling the Jaguars with offers to trade up for that same pick. The Jags, they said, were focused on acquiring either player, R.J. Harvey or Gilletti, with that pick. The Denver Broncos ended up taking Harvey, and the Chiefs took Gilletti. As soon as the Chiefs took Gilletti, the Rams and the Lions are like, peace out. We don't want to trade up anymore for that 70th overall pick. And so Brett Veach at 66 not only got a very good football player from all accounts in the third round, obviously, you got a football player that was coveted by two other teams that wanted to trade up for this guy. So that tells me the Kansas City Chiefs got a steal at that position, got a guy that other teams coveted that they were willing to trade up for, and Brett Veach can look at all those guys in his wake and go, ha, 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 I did it again. And you wonder why he stays on top, because he has a knack for knowing when to make those right moves and when to take certain guys, because he knows they're starting to get kind of sniffed on and people may want them. And so you got to get the guy that you want at that certain position. So maybe they were thinking running back at that point in time. Maybe the running back they wanted wasn't there. This guy was the highest ranked player on their board at that particular time. And other teams wanted him as well. And I think it always adds a little bit to the equation when you find out you took a guy that a couple of other teams were hoping was there or willing to trade up for a little bit later in the draft, but you took him and then they bounced out of trying to trade for those picks.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at what, you know, we all kind of advocated for where the help needed to be. You wanted the defensive front. We've seen what defensive fronts can do to be disrupted towards games. We saw how Denver has, you know, developed and evolved as their team. Their defensive front is nasty.
Yep.
The Titans, for all those years when they were competitive in the AFC, they just had one of those, you know, monstrous defensive lines. You know that from covering the team in Tennessee, Mac. And then, obviously, Philadelphia, the carbon copy, they've done right. Well drafting their defensive line, just going straight to the University of Georgia, taking flyers on players that maybe some people were like, absolutely not, speaking of Jalen Carter, of names right, out of there, and it worked out. Now the Chiefs have padded up on the defensive line. They bring back O'Minihue. They have Chris Jones. They have these two kids they drafted out of Tennessee and out of Louisville, and we'll see what happens. But again, like, I think with the satisfaction – I'm with everybody in the 75 to 100%. Now there's some people in the text line like, I'll be satisfied once I see them play.
I think that's fair.
I think that's a fair assumption to make. I think that's totally fine because, look, I think there's a lot of people that were satisfied with Dexter McCluster. And then the career happened, and you're like, well, what happened? It's like, well, coming out of the draft, all the hype was there. But then when the reality kind of started to come in, it was like, oh, this is who he really is. Another guy's like DeAnthony Thomas, right? He was another guy where everybody at Oregon was like, oh, my gosh, this guy could be a game wrecker, game changer. Welcome to the NFL. You are a nobody.
Have we had that guy, though, in the Veach Reed era? Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire falls into that. Maybe Sky Moore a little bit into that kind of category. But I'm saying maybe is because we had so many great players ahead of them that, like, with DeAnthony Thomas and with who else? Dexter McCluster, We needed those guys to hit and be stars because we didn't have any of those guys. Because of the way that this team has been built, you don't need those guys to come in and be stars. That's why I say maybe. With, you know, CEH and maybe with Sky Moore.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you also are in what you would consider, I would say, the 1% in the NFL, where you're drafting to continue this legacy. You're not drafting to start a legacy.
Yeah.
You've already done that. You're in the middle of it. You've survived the first wave. Hell, you might have survived the second wave of that as well. Because, look, you're eventually going to be without Chris Jones, you're eventually going to be without Travis Kelce. We all know that. And eventually Mahomes is going to get older. He'll be 30, I believe, to start this season at the quarterback position. Yes, running back was one of my needs that I wanted earlier in the draft. They addressed that in the late rounds in the seventh pick. Again, I'm not going to go against what Brett Veach's strategies are. They always seem to work out. More often than not, than they, you obviously can go back in the draft. Well, in the sixth round, they took this guy, and he never took a snap. It's like, fair, sixth round pick. Three Super Bowls, eight, none. And five trips. The thing is that this team, in their mindset, is set to win. They showed you that in the offseason, you know, giving Trey Smith, you know, the franchise tag, eventually we'll sign him, picking up the options, obviously, of McDuffie and Karlaftis, which was just groundbreaking news yesterday.
People
and
were acting like that was a surprise.
They bring back Juju. They bring back Hollywood Brown. They bring back Kareem Hunt. They bring back, or obviously, they brought back Isaiah Pacheco. That's your backfield. That's what it is moving forward. Now, maybe you look at it in the high-risk, low-reward category of the running back taken in the seventh round. Maybe he pans out, and maybe this is one of those things where, like, Brett Veach had a running back in the seventh round before. Yeah, he took Kareem Hunt in the third round. Yeah, he took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. But again, he picked a running back in the seventh round that panned out that could possibly be the future of your team when next year your running back room can be completely different, and the only one standing alone in that running back room next year is the guy you picked in the seventh round. I know that Carson Steele is still there, and I know there's some people that still hang on to that story. I just don't think that that story is there anymore.
Oh, are people still thinking that's an option now?
There were a few texts earlier that were like, oh, we're just giving up on Carson Steele already.
Yeah,
I mean, the coach gave up on him on week two.
Yeah, I mean, so like, Carson Steele.
Good Lord. That's not your answer.
It's a fullback at best.
Your answer this year was at D-line, keep that rotation sort of strategy alive.
Yep.
These guys are younger. They're here to prove it. And the other thing, too, is that when you are a team that is constantly winning and constantly the staple of the NFL, I do feel like guys that get drafted like this by the Chiefs, where a lot of people have said they stole the draft again, Brett Veach does it again, and these guys are names that maybe two out of these, you know, two or three of these names in the future are guys that are like, yeah, that was the 2025 draft. Remember when they did it in Lambeau and everybody was like, who are these guys from Louisville and from Tennessee? And they pan out. And it's like, now these guys are coming to a team where the standard is winning the AFC West and getting to the AFC Championship, where maybe for them it was like, well, we want to just be relevant and try to make the college football playoffs. That is dead. That is gone. And those kind of characters get drafted by your general manager to know what they can do to help this team. Brett Veach does enough research, enough homework, where I think the guys that he's picked in this draft give me enough of at least 75%, hell, 85% of satisfaction. I'd probably be at a 90 to a 95 if Josh Simmons is like, hey,
and if that's holding you up from where you want to be, like, you know, 75 to 100%, I understand that. That's fair.
And also to debunk that, if he was ready to go by training camp, you're not going to get that
guy. He wasn't there.
So he's not on the team. It plays both sides of that double-edged sword. But again, like, we're at a point here where it's like they got guys at needs that they needed. We've had Briscoe on. We've had Binkley on. We've had Mitch Holtis on. We've had Matt McMullen on. And they were all talking D-line, rotation, big guys, strong guys in the middle that can rotate with that Spag sort of system. If that works out and you're again going out there and you're averaging, what, 24, 26 points a game and you're giving up 17 to 19, you're going to be right back. I'm not saying they're going to be 15-2, but you'll be right back in that same narrative of the Chiefs. They can't keep getting away with it. Yes, they can because of how they draft.
Well, and the defensive line, when was the last time that we really went heavy on the defensive line in a draft?
Been a minute.
Right. I feel like it has been. And I'm asking because I don't know. It feels like it's been a while. And what did we say going into this draft?
Their biggest need.
It was their biggest need, but also the deepest position, right? We talked about basically 28, I think, is the number of what the draft Knicks were saying. 28 of the top 100 players in this draft were defensive linemen. The Chiefs got two of those guys. Two top 100 picks went to defensive linemen in a position that was loaded with talent this year at that spot. And so they took advantage of that situation. They took advantage of a position on the field that, quite frankly, needs to get younger, needs to be upgraded, needs to be fresher. And they took two guys that I think are going to be big parts of what they want to do immediately and hit the ground running. And the Gelati guy, I mean, like, I love that because other teams were trying to covet that guy, to trade up for that guy. Like, that gives you a little swagger, man. That's kind of that Vince McMahon walking in. Like, not that Brett Veach wasn't already walking in like Vince McMahon, because he should be, because he's the boss. But, I mean, he's walking in even more swagger today, I guarantee you, knowing that he took this guy at 66 and Mike Silver saying two teams wanted to trade up to 70 to get that guy and then pulled their offers back once they found out he was gone. That should tell you everything you need. That should get you excited as a Chiefs fan.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
One of the 2.1% people with under 50% satisfaction. Mm-hmm. I kid, Jay. I kid.
Also, it's like, would you want a running back in the third round that, yes, could work out and will be there for 4 years, and then that seventh round you get a D-end who's not going to play? Or would you rather get a running back in the seventh round who has a much better chance to play and will be there for 4 years, because that's what running backs are, and get the D-end in the third round who's going to be there for probably 8 years if he works out?
That's a hell of a point by you, bro.
Thank you.
No, that is. That's a great point and a great way to look at it, because because it makes a lot of sense. Get the guy that you think is a really good football player that's going to give you longer time.
Yeah.
And then this is the running back MO that they've had since Andy Reid has gotten here. Who's been a household name running back that they've had here? I mean, don't tell me Kareem Hunt was a third round draft pick, right? There's never been a household running back. And the two guys they tried to do were total sticks in the mud, was that LeSean McCoy guy. Ugh. Who got shoes and Josh didn't. And who's the other guy that they got? Le'Veon Bell.
He's a boxer now.
Right? So those were the two guys that had a name that they went out there and got. Were total failures. They won a Super Bowl with Damian Williams, who should have been the MVP. Sharkhandrick West and Spencer Ware were the bell cow backs in the early days. The tail end of Jamal's career. Seventh round Isaiah Pacheco.
Jet McKinnon,
third round out of Toledo. Kareem Hunt, that nobody knew what to expect. So it's all about how these guys fit into the system, not where you're drafted. It has nothing to do with where you're drafted. Now you take advantage of it. You're in the NFL. This guy, Breshard Smith, is no different than Josh Simmons. He's no different than Ashton Gelati. He was picked in the same. He's in the NFL now. He has the same opportunity as all of these guys. Same with Shedeur Sanders at 144. That doesn't matter anymore. You've got an opportunity. If you thought you should have been a top five pick or a top two or three pick in this league, then go out there and play like that in the preseason and earn yourself a spot on that roster. Everybody that's drafted is now in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Nobody's getting any benefits of the doubt. You got to prove that you can play. And if a seventh round pick goes on and plays great, hey, we all win.
The blinds were open last night in the NBA Fesco window as he tuned into the game, but also saw some drama at the end of the Pacers-Bucks game. Speaking of a guy who's not going to be on a team that he was on this year that it won't be next year, is Giannis is the geek freak. He'll be gone after this year out of Milwaukee. And if you missed it last night, there was the altercation on the floor of Halliburton's father, Halliburton Sr., is what I'm going to call him. And Giannis, as he was taunting Giannis at the end of the game, it was an overtime loss by 1 point, 119 to 118. The Milwaukee Bucks and Doc Rivers once again regurgitated a lead late in the game. And then there was controversy on the court where at one point they were face-to-face and Giannis let him just kind of do his thing and troll him and let him go. And then they got kind of close to the benches. And as Big Cat said, Halliburton's dad, that's the most he's ever been looked down upon by an animal, actual human being, as Giannis was forehead to forehead. And then the TNT crew weighed in.
No, he's not supposed to be on the court. He's not supposed to be on the court.
Giannis talked to him. Forget all that.
No, he was on the court.
So what?
You think he said something to him? He probably know who his dad is.
Stop it. Giannis said something to him.
No, because he's on the court in his face.
So what? Everybody on the court.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot do that.
Giannis said something to him.
So you think his dad was
crazy?
No, his dad was 100% wrong.
Giannis was wrong?
Bro, Giannis said something to him.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he not.
Look, right now.
No, his Giannis dad is coming up to him. What is his dad doing on the court?
Giannis,
his dad is not supposed to be on the court.
You can yell as much as
you
want to.
He's an idiot. If you think that's right, you're an idiot too.
Giannis says something.
No, that's not true. No, I'm just telling you. That dad is an idiot. And if you think he's an idiot, you're an idiot too.
I will say 100%.
No,
his dad is always on the court.
No, I will say this. We all have met his dad, and he has.
His dad's always on the court.
He should be on the court.
You don't have an entitlement because your son is playing to be on the court.
Hold on, time out. He's always on the court.
He shouldn't be on the court.
I don't care. He's always on the court.
He should not be on the court talking to other players.
Bro, Giannis said something to him. He came up to Giannis. No, he did not.
No, that's not true.
He couldn't have said anything to him.
Walking in the line behind his son.
He should. What do you mean walking in line behind his son? He shouldn't be on the court. He didn't play in the game.
Always on the court.
No, he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be
on the court.
No, there's no entitlement for
that. No.
That's why that show's the best.
It's the best. It really is. That's great. They're hating on each other. But that's good because you get those polarizing opinions. Yeah. Shaq is completely wrong. He is
100%.
Wrong. I mean, he's not even in the ballpark of being right. I do think, though, listening to that, it kind of reminds me of, you know, watching just like the middle school kids and whatnot. After the game, all the parents are always on the court. Happens in high school and college, the parents hang around. This guy's just used to doing that, right? However, you got to get unused to doing that. You want to go on the court and talk to your son after the game or whatever? Okay. You're holding a banner of your son in Giannis's face on the baseline. And then you get in front of him as he's trying to walk off the court and still hold that banner up in front of him. That guy is a douchebag. There's just no other way to put it. And it just also goes to show you, no matter what level of sports you're at, parents always ruin it.
They can when they try to get bigger than the game. Because I'm with Chuck there. Like,
he should have got his ass kicked.
And props to Giannis for not doing that. Like, I remember last year in the ALDS when Jazz Chisholm was getting all, and the other guy was getting all like frisky with Michael Garcia. Michael Garcia was a bigger dude than I'll ever be in that situation, because I don't know how you don't punch Jazz Chisholm in the face.
How Giannis didn't do it too.
And Giannis got as close as he possibly could. I mean, forehead to forehead. I mean, they were ready to throw hands. And we know Halliburton Sr. is not down for that. He is trying to get him to do his
much. For that.
And do you think that the Indiana Pacers take the high road here and say, moving forward in the playoffs, you are not allowed on the court?
Well, the son has called his dad out. And yeah. I don't think you need anything more than that. Once your son calls you out and says, my dad was in the wrong, like that was not cool what he did, I don't think the organization needs to say anything. Your son just called you out. That's embarrassment enough to never show your face again.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it like that, never show your face again. You go to the game and you watch.
And you
just sit there and enjoy the game.
You are a spectator.
Yep, right.
And if you think that when you see these kids storm courts and they, you know, bump athletes, or what was it, Caitlin Clark got like bum rushed when they lost a couple years ago in Iowa.
Gottlieb could have controlled
all right,
that.
Yeah. And, you know, and you're in favor of like these fans once they enter the realm of these athletes that like whatever happens happens. Like yep. if an athlete pushes a fan because they're like bumping chest with them, like welcome to their world. And Giannis was a better man that day. He was bigger person. Yep. No doubt about it, obviously. But like to let this Richard come on the floor and taunt you, like how big, like we talk about, you know, your guy that's, you know, how big a boy are you? Like, in that case, like Giannis was the bigger person. Like he could have ended
no question
that guy's
he was.
Like month.
And
you know, Giannis is kind of this guy, like when he gets older or not older, when he loses, then it goes away and he's frustrated, obviously, in Milwaukee. And yes, that loss is frustration.
Yeah, he gets really mad.
He gets mad. And that
guy knew it and he knew how mm-hmm. to poke
exactly.
him.
That's what you call a button pusher. We all have those friends that do that. We all have those, you know, coworkers that might push a button. I'm known to do that. It's what I do. It's fun because I want to get your raw reaction. But again, I'm not trying to fight anybody. I might go out and talk in the bullpen to Cody and Gold, say something that maybe gets them kind of stirred up to be like, yeah, well, here's this. What do you think about it? And then they're like, well, I don't know. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
I just want to get your raw reaction because Shaq's wrong.
Shaq is totally so wrong. I'm surprised he's taking this
Me
side.
Too. He must like his dad or something. It seemed to be a relationship.
But it goes to show you, like, if you're a parent and your child is participating in sports, stay, just watch the games, man. Don't get involved. Really don't get involved. Let them play the game. Let them mm-hmm. do their thing. Because when you do stuff like that, you're embarrassing your kid. And that has long-lasting impressions when you are that bad sports parent. And Halliburton's dad is a bad sports parent. There's just no other way to put it. It's no different than if that kid was playing in high school or elementary school or club soccer, whatever it is. If you're a parent that makes an ass of yourself, you're an ass. And it doesn't matter what level. It just makes it even worse because this is now in the NBA and we're all mm-hmm. watching and seeing this and going, I can't believe a parent would do that. I watch it every weekend at a kid game. Parents make asses of themselves all the time. Stop making an ass of yourself as a parent. Just watch your kid play. That's all your kid wants is the love and support that you're there, not for you to become the story and to become the spectacle. And that's what Halliburton's father did. Like, I'm not saying ban him or anything like that. I'm not to that
ban
level.
From the floor?
Oh, from the floor? Yeah. I'm not saying no, ban from the arena. Him. Yeah, yeah okay. You're in the upper deck now. Wow, or okay. You know,
maybe not that high, but like you're where the other parents sit.
Yeah.
You're in section 132, row S, man. Like, let's go.
And if Adam Silver need to step in? Or is the Pacers,
100%.
Can they handle this in-house?
This is a security issue.
Like, this now is it is. Now it is a security issue.
And
it's
league-wide.
And if that was just a random fan, that guy would have been arrested. That guy would have been cuffed. He would have been fined. And they didn't do anything to this guy because he's so-and-so's father. But it doesn't matter. He was acting worse than any other fan in that building last night.
But he's always on the court.
I don't care.
I don't care. It doesn't mean it's right. Just because you always speed or you mm-hmm. always mm-hmm. run a red light or you always, you know, do something you're not supposed to doesn't make it right.
Let him do that to Jared Allen next round. See if it goes the same way.
And this comes from Shams on Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis are scheduled to meet after the season to discuss the future.
Well, yeah, of course we know.
They can meet today. The season's over.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, let's go. Giannis is like, I'm ready to talk.
You want to have a laugh real quick before we...
Always.
All right. So the New York Post tweets out, Jordan Hudson helped kill UNC's Hard Knocks over the protest, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's quote tweeted by a guy from Barstool. He goes, we're this close to finding out if she's the one that benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
That's great.
She told Russ to throw it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't give it to Marshawn Lynch.
All this stuff now from like she was in charge of Spygate. She was 0 years old during Spygate. Wait, what year was that Super Bowl? That was the 2001 Super Bowl. She's 24. She was 0. Wow. Yeah,
that's crazy.
She's definitely deflated some balls. Ryan Clark wants Tyrese Halliburton's father banned from NBA games. I believe he should never be allowed to be at another basketball game. Come with Ryan Clark.
I'm not in the ban from games, but if that's a normal fan, they probably do that, right? They
probably
ban him. So if that's what you were going to do with an ordinary fan, then you've got to follow protocol. I don't care if it's somebody's dad. I'm not into, like, people make mistakes, right? They do. People make mistakes and things happen. And it shouldn't be a blanket coverage of, like, everybody that storms the court should be banned for life or anything like that. But if that's the rules that you have in place, if you were going to do that for Bob Johnson, who just randomly walked out of the crowd and onto the floor, well, then you have to do that with Halliburton, too. I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, because somebody
we don't have them. We need regulations.
Somebody brings up Ja Morant and Shannon Sharpe.
Yeah.
Ja Morant's dad. I mean.
Yeah, those need to be stopped, too.
Yeah.
We need rules.
It's for everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
everybody. speaking of that, we wrap this show up and talk about what a 20-game hit streak really does mean to, well, what Cotrero said about the team and us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Gents, what's on the menu tonight? Got any ideas? You got soccer all night?
No, or? We don't. Not tonight.
No soccering tonight?
No, not tonight. I don't know. We made some salmon last night. I'll probably have that tonight.
Same, baby, same.
Went to Hy-Vee yesterday. Got a big, big piece of salmon. And so
filleted it all up.
Kind of did one of those, like, we cooked two meals yesterday just because of, you know, timing and whatnot. So I've got salmon and vegetables today, I think. It just sounds good.
I did the bachelor meal. I got the Hy-Vee.
Ramen?
No. I got the two, like, salmon fillets. It's like I think it's, like, just over, like, 10 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the cruise packages of, like, noodles. So I did, like, the broccoli cheddar noodles. And then I did the two salmon pan seared into a medium. Fire.
Damn.
It's good. That's it took like 10 minutes.
Meal? Jeez.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like, not a bachelor meal.
That's like, said bagel ramen.
It's like noodles made out of a package where you just add milk and water.
Everybody makes those. I got tons of those. That's a good family meal.
$10 for $10.
Yeah. Exactly. But when it's like a bachelor meal, that's like hot dogs and ramen.
Oh, you okay. Know?
Like, or, yeah, or as he said, bagel bites or something. Like
I do
that.
Have a
yeah.
meal that I call Make's Mac, which is you get the Jamaica sausages. You sear them in a pan, dice them up in little chunks, and then make like macaroni and cheese and mix it all together.
Smash. That's good.
Smash.
Yeah, it's really
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
I found yesterday Cool Ranch Dorito flavored pretzels from Rolled Gold.
So good.
You and I both had like must have had like a garage session at the same time because I found those ice cream sandwiches that are Pop-Tart based.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are fake or not. But, like, if they're real, I'm in some serious trouble.
Yeah, Rolled Gold has, like, all Dorito-flavored pretzel twists out now. Like, everybody's upped their game since Dots, right? Like, Dots are they're at a different level. We got to tour the Dots factory a couple years ago.
The future of ice cream since 1984.
No, the Dots pretzels factory.
Dots,
the Dots ice cream is crap. The future of ice cream, yet it's only sold at sporting events.
You can get it at Hy-Vee.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody buying that?
You can get it at Costco, too.
Really?
Both. Yeah, they're in, like, little cups.
I'm not interested in that stuff. It's been the future forever. When does something, like, stop becoming the future of something? They've sold that at a ballpark since the 90s.
Bobby Witt's still the future of the Royals. Patrick Mahomes still the future of the Chiefs.
No, they are the Chiefs. They are the Royals. Like, Dippin' Dots has been, I've been told for a generation plus, since Mac's been not even conceived, that Dippin' Dots were going to be the wave of the future for ice cream. It's 30 years later. We can't continue to call it the wave of the future.
They're coming to stores in June, Pop-Tart ice cream sandwiches.
So they
June,
are. That's
are
real.
Yeah, they have the chocolate one. So what it is like basically a Pop-Tart, and in between is ice cream, like an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
Right? They've strawberry, chocolate, and the cinnamon?
Yep, brown sugar, the brown sugar, cinnamon, chocolate, and the frosted strawberry.
You can keep all the chocolate ones, but the strawberry and the cinnamon sugar ones, man, those...
See, I'm in on the, I want the chocolate one that you just said.
Yeah, you are a chocolate lord.
I love it, yeah.
You dip that in peanut butter.
I eat a couple of squares of dark chocolate every night because I'm old.
Could you imagine? Gosh, those are going to be so good. I can't wait for the future Smasher Pass.
And I will tell you, the Cool Ranch pretzels...
they're a hit?
Let me just tell you this.
They some, Mac.
Don't buy them.
Oh.
Because you'll eat the entire bag.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They're up there with Skinny Pop.
Yeah. I mean, you start diving in, you're like,
You
know, it's like, it's one of those where you have the first kind of bite and you're just like, and then you continue to eat it and it just gets better and better and better and better. So enjoy the World Gold Cool Ranch Dorito flavored pretzels.
You're just in love with the dust of Doritos. You're not in love with the chip.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right?
Yeah,
like when they did those Locos Tacos at Taco Bell, never tried one. And then I had one by accident. It was in my order. And I was like, I guess I'll eat it. Wow. Why was I not doing this earlier? One, Taco Bell, stay away.
Classic.
Two, got the Doritos. Like, okay, I get it now. Now this makes sense.
Right.
I'm eating a Dorito stuffed taco.
Same thing I have with Hannah. She gets one every time now.
Really?
Yeah, it's a staple in the order.
The Doritos Locos Taco?
Yep. It's nails, man. Like it.
So you know that's going off the menu then soon, right? Because that's what Taco Bell does. They just cycle things on and cycle things off.
20-game hit streak. It's impressive. It's fun. Cotrero earlier joining the show was talking about how it's like, you know, Salvador Perez was sitting next to Cotrero and he's standing there and Bobby gets it. He goes, number 20. And he's like, yeah, I'm aware.
I'm aware. That's
thanks, Sal.
Hey, Sal's just making sure everybody's paying attention here.
Right. And, you know, the biggest cheerleader on your team is the El Capitan, Salvador Perez. But, you know, I think when we go into these games tonight, like, you're looking to see if they can win the series. But like I compared it to earlier, it's like the Cracker Jack box. You know what you're getting originally, but you get a little surprise inside, right? You're going to win this series against Tampa Bay, continue to, you know, be a good team. You know, you win tonight, you're above 500 for the first time in seems like forever, right? Been 14-15, 14-14. Now you're 15-15 to win tonight. You're 16-15. I think the three things that you watch tonight is, can they win the series? Does Bobby Witt Jr. get a 21-game hit streak? And does Vinny Pasquantino snap out of it?
Yeah.
He's at 174. It's time to hit.
And I think this Chillicothe kid pitching tonight is kind of one to kind of look at just to see what he could potentially do. He's probably going back to Omaha tomorrow. But
from St. Joe.
Okay.
Same area.
Yeah.
It's all
the same. Chillicothe, sliced bread, Cameron, up there. Where they see Bethany. There's two towns up there called Tracy and then Weston, obviously.
Familiar with both.
And it's like driving up there at 4 a.m. for years like we used to do back in the day, used to kind of, your brain would kind of wander. Josh would always look at that sign that said Tracy Weston. We're like, God, Tracy Weston, man. I bet in high school, like, we would form stories about who Tracy Weston would have been in high school, because at 4 a.m, you ain't got nothing else to do except drive up there. So all those places like north of the airport where the tornadoes and storms hit yesterday or 2 days ago, that's where this kid is from, right?
Yeah, Tracy Weston was definitely the president of Senate. Hey, don't forget blood drive this Saturday. Support your school and your class. always going hard as hell during Spirit Week.
Yes.
You actually wore a whole robot outfit, Tracy. Good for you.
Tracy Weston again with the lead seller at the bake sale.
Mac, have you and the lady been to Weston, Missouri yet? Have you been to Herman, Missouri yet?
No, but I have been told now by the texters and you guys, Herman's a good like day trip, Bob says. Weekend trip, the texters say.
It's a great. Yeah, it's more of a weekend.
It's a great Friday afternoon. Like, you get off work from here. Hey, guys, got to go. Deuces, it's 9:59. Pick up the wife or fiance, I should say. Go straight to Herman, Missouri.
Unless you're taking a bus or the train down there, you got to stay because you're not coming back drunk. I mean, you'd be a fool to do so. But you know, we did a bus trip. Vip put a bus trip together when we were all in St. Louis at one time. It was great. Yeah, it was awesome. It was fantastic.
Did Vip make it to Herman? It's only 45 minutes from St. Louis.
Yeah, I don't really remember if he did or
less
not.
Less than that.
The better question is, did Vip make it home from Herman?
Yes.
I don't know that he did.
He doesn't know how.
Yeah, he was there some way.
He woke up like, dude, where's my car?
many a night.
You got Fesco on your back. What's on yours? Bob, Fesco. You got Fesco on your back. You have In the Morning on yours.
So that's kind of what, but yeah, if you're going to do Herman, you got, but Weston is a great day. I love going to Weston. We do it like on a random Friday, you know, we'll go up, you know, if my wife has off or whatever, when there's nobody up there, you go up to Weston for Apple Fest, you're screwed.
Here's some breaking news at the NFL involving the Falcons and the elite numbers. According to Adam Schefter, NFL fined the Falcons $250,000 and defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft.
Schefter kind of went off on the NFL and said, this is on them. They distributed a list, and I guess some media people were included on it as well. Like, they have, like, a big distribution list, I guess the NFL has, where, like, all these people that say sources tell us, it's a distribution list by the NFL that gets put out there. And I guess on this list, they had some of these phone numbers, and Schefter's like, this is on the NFL. This isn't really on the Falcons or this guy. This is on the league for putting this number out there.
Speck still wants the defensive coordinator fired. Again, good show today. Tomorrow, Thursday, Ben Maller joins the show. We'll have some more conversations, I'm sure, around Bill Belichick as news continues to break. And go get number 21 tonight, Bobby. Get out of it, Vinny. And let the kid, Noah Cameron, go out there and slay with that changeup
tonight.
And
the Lakers got a big one, too, right?
No doubt about it. The blinds are open. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. You change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, as always, stay safe, stay kind, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2. We'll be right back.